You're listening to the Prepper Recon Podcast. For questions, comments, and podcast archives, go to PrepperRecon.com. Hey, Preppers and Patriots. I've got a couple of quick announcements before we get into today's show. In publishing news, Cyber Armageddon is now available as a box set for Kindle and audiobook. Cybersecurity analyst Kate McCarthy knows something ominous is about to happen in the U.S. banking system. She has a place to go if things get hectic, but it's far from the perfect retreat. If you like post-apocalyptic fiction, you won't want to miss this one. And if you'd rather listen than read, you can't beat this deal by being able to get all three books for one Audible credit or one iTunes purchase. Also, I've recently released the ebook versions of the Ava's Crucible series on Kobo, Walmart, as well as Barnes & Noble. I've received several emails from readers looking for another alternative besides Amazon. They've been up for a few weeks and haven't seen much action, so it's unlikely that I'm going to put up other books to those platforms in the future. Now on to today's show. Today's guest is author and longtime friend of the show, Glenn Tate. Glenn, welcome back to the show. We haven't spoken far too long.
Exactly. Thank you for having me. It has been a while, but Prepper Recon has settled and done some things and changed up, and now you're putting out some more episodes, and very, very happy to be on the show. I mean, I look back at the shows I was on of Prepper Recon, and it's sort of like a diary, right? I mean, started off and then was on the show a few times, and then there's been a break, and now we're back, and it's kind of like the diary of a lot of prepping out there. There was a big initial phase, and there's been some hiatus, and now as we head into 2020, I think a lot of folks are getting back in gear. Now, a lot of your listeners never took any time off. I'm speaking of preppers in general.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we had that big Shemitah thing there that turned out to not be anything big. But, you know, there was some folks out there, and I got kind of caught up into that thing, too. And I think I did some big spins. And then after that, I think I sort of maybe fell off myself a little bit, except for buying a 23-acre property up in the mountains in the middle of nowhere, which was actually, maybe I didn't really take a break, but yeah, I think that a lot of people did. They felt like they got really, really prepped up for that thing. Because I'll tell you, that was really kind of one of the big drop-offs happened. And then after that, and then President Trump, and then, you know, because he can protect us from EMPs and financial collapses and civil wars and everything else if he doesn't get removed from office for colluding with somebody in Eastern Europe. But now let's talk about you. You and Shelby Gallagher have a podcast these days. It's called Prepping 2.0. Tell us about the show. Tell us about what inspired you to get started with that, and tell us kind of what are some of the things you guys cover at Prepping 2.0.
Yeah, you bet. And the name says it all. Prepping 2.0. You know, the next version, the next edition, an upgrade, an improvement. And it occurred to Shelby and I when, and by the way, she's the author of a book series called The Great State, which is a great book series. If you like 299 Days, and I dare say if you like Mark's books, I think you'll like Shelby's books. But anyway, and she comes at it from the single mom prepper perspective, which is a perspective I haven't seen a lot of. There's some characters out there that are single moms in other books, but it's usually not the main character. But anyway, Prepping 2.0 is that next level. And so we had this, she and I had this conversation, and I said something like, yeah, Prepping 1.0, that's, you know, beans and an AR-15, and you got to do that. You got to start somewhere, and that's good. And if your household is relatively squared away and prepared, that's Prepping 1.0. But Prepping 2.0 is the next level, where you start addressing things that I think you need to address to ultimately be successful midterm and long term, and that would be community, and that entails a variety of things. I mean, meeting your neighbors being one of those preps, right? It's not all about gunfights, right? I mean, in fact, gunfights should should be very, very rare. Hopefully they never occur. Water, it's the overlooked prepping item. I admit it. I fell into this. I mean, you know, I love guns, and AR-15s are cooler than like water treatment. Okay. But that's a problem. Can only go 3 days without water. Communications. That's a big thing. I'm not really interested, to be candid, in technology and radios and stuff like that, but I realized I needed to learn them. By the time folks hear this, hopefully by the time they hear this, I'll have something out. It's free. It's called PAM radio, P-A-M, which is prepper amateur radio. You'll notice it's not ham radio. It's PAM radio. And it's an electronic flashcard thing for your phone. You just download it for free. And it teaches you all the practical stuff about ham radio that you need to know. It is not a test prep for the ham radio license, although that's a good thing to go and get. But it's all the practical stuff, as I say, that I had to learn, and I had to train my team, the real team in my books, real guys. And I said, well, how am I going to teach these guys how we're going to use radios? And silly me, because I'm in my 50s and I'm old, I assumed, and I'm back in the old days of technology, I assumed I would just get some index cards and a Sharpie and write up flashcards and say, okay, guys, what's the difference between VHF and UHF and why does it matter? And a millennial friend of mine who's about 30 looked at me and said, index cards? Why wouldn't you do an app on your phone where you've got flashcards? And then it kind of grew from there. So anyway, that'll be coming out. It's free. And along with communications, night vision, I think, is very, very important. Our mutual friend, Bob Griswold, is going to be on Prepping 2.0 here very, very soon, and he can tell us about those things. So that's the next level, and it's become a podcast, prepping2-0.com. And we're also on a bunch of radio stations in the western states, which was a complete accident and turned out to be a very neat thing. So that's the joint project Shelby and I are working on, besides some book stuff that we may or may not talk about later. But the main thing is this weekly podcast and radio show, which has been an absolute hoot. It's been so much fun. Every week when we record it, it's like the best day of our week, and we get to talk to interesting people and we learn all kinds of stuff. And we think it's pretty entertaining. It's kind of fun to have the husband wife sort of dialogue and banter and slightly different perspectives on stuff. So it's been way, way more popular than I thought it would be. Cause I never really thought it would be anything. We just said, hey, we should do a podcast. Oh golly, that's too much work. And then it turns out that we just sort of did it. And like we always do, you know, we just getting the message out there, the various messages that we talk about and that you talk about. And God gave us an avenue and a pathway. And I'm convinced that the reason so many people are listening to the podcast and reading the books, and this applies to you too, of course, is because God wants that message to get out. And we happen to be the messengers. And it's a terrific honor to be used.
Yeah, fantastic. Now, the PAM, that's going to be an app, and that's going to be something you're going to be able to get from the from Google Play and
yeah,
things like
exactly.
that, or you'll be able to get it from Prepping 2.0 website. How would we go about getting that?
Yeah, it will be like a standard phone app. So it would be Google Play for Androids. It would be iTunes or whatever it is, the App Store, I guess. And you just download it for iPhones. And there'll be a link to the PAM radio website where all this download stuff will be on. You can get to that link from prepping2-0.com and on 299days.com, greatstate.com, all of the book sites and the show sites. And it's cool. I've got, 62 beta testers. And these are all kinds of people from people who know nothing about ham radio, which is my audience, really. That's who I want to get. See, and you probably relate to this too personally. It's always like, oh, communications and ham radio. Gee, that's so technical. I have to learn Morse code. I have to know about the ionosphere. And it's just too big of a hill to climb, right? As I often say, when I started this project and it came to radios, I don't need another hobby. I don't need another thing to spend money on. Everything I do in PAM radio is inexpensive. I'm not suggesting anybody get a $2,000 radio, anything like that. I don't need another hobby. I don't need another draw on my time that's already pretty limited. I just need to know stuff, and I need to know a subset of all the stuff that all the hobbyists want to know or think I need to know. And I had to teach myself the University of YouTube. I hold a master's degree there, and I just learn stuff and talk to people, put it all down on flashcards, have a great Christian friend of mine who's the developer of the app, and he figured out how to do flashcards and get it on iTunes and Google Play, and the rest is history. I'm finishing it up here in late December, and hope to have it out January, February, something like that. It's taking me longer than I thought because, I don't know, I got like three jobs and stuff. There's that. But it's, I think, going to be exactly what a lot of preppers need. And back to the beta testers, everyone from beginners and all the way up to special operations comm guy who, you know, before he left the Air Force was a joint terminal air coordinator, the Red Berets that call in airstrikes along with the Green Berets. So, I mean, you get every perspective from the very beginning to, you know, the ultimate experts. And so it's going to be vetted. It's not just Glenn Tate's random thoughts that he learned off of YouTube. It's tested, and it's going to be, I think, a great thing to get preppers over that hill, that, you know, the hump of, oh my goodness, I can't possibly do this. Yeah, you can. Listen, if I can do this, I'm a lawyer, for goodness sakes. I have no technical background. And as I said, not a lot of technical interest, to be quite honest. This is a tool for me, right? And it's a tool for keeping my neighbors in the rural area that I live in contact, so that if we hear that motorcycle gang rolling through, we can coordinate a defense. It's all practical. It's all practical. So, oh, and another thing I need to say, and it relates to radios and it relates to the bigger topic of prepping 2.0. One of the other 2.0 next level, next generation concepts that we cover in the show, and it's certainly true of radios, there's been some technological stuff that's come out, new products that are better and cheaper, and they're widely available. Baofeng radios would be an example of that, right, for regular prepper uses. And we wanted to let people know that there's new stuff that's affordable and easy to use. And 5 years ago, as a practical matter, that stuff didn't exist. So that's true of radios and all kinds of things, life straws when it comes to water, all kinds of other things. So that's another thing we try to keep folks up on Prepping 2.0 is new stuff that's going to make your life better. And it's not as expensive as it used to be.
I was watching on Frontline, which Frontline is my absolute favorite far left propaganda show on PBS. They put out the best of the best of far left propaganda. And, you know, and if you've got eyes to see and ears to hear, you can actually distill out a little bit of truth from a lot of their programming as well. And it's programming because it's intended to program you to thinking a certain way. So you certainly want to make sure that that, you know, all your antennas are up when you're watching it. But they put out a documentary. It's called Forsama, and it's a mother that was in Aleppo from the beginning of the Civil War all the way through recent times. And I'll tell you what, this film is not for the faint of heart. But one of the things that they had is they had the handheld UHF VHF radios. And that's where, you know, you had lookouts on the rooftop saying, hey, we've got bombers coming in from the west. Everybody get to a low floor, get to an interior hallway, da 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 da. And so that's something that a little Baofeng like that, to where, you know, if you've got a few of those, even if you're not, you don't have the big, huge ham shed, you know, a $50,000 ham shed, you can get a couple of those for 20, 30 bucks each. And it's really, really going to give you an edge for survival. And it's certainly something that they use there. And if you want to see sort of the what a civil war looks like in a modern age civil war, it's a really, really good documentary for that. And yeah, I think that's really, really important. Communications is so super, super important. You mentioned that you're a lawyer, and I don't think I'm giving out too much new information by saying that when you're not rocking your superhero stick-on beard and your I Miss America hat, you're actually a mild-mannered public servant. What are you seeing inside the level of government where you work? Is political division, is it as bad there as it is in places like Facebook?
Yeah, and where I am is Washington State of all places, and Western Washington, and I'm on my own. This has been increasingly true. The leftification. I always put the ification on everything. The blueification, the leftification. We did a show on Prepping 2.0 about the cartelification of America and about Mexican drug cartels and how that's kind of a governing / economic military model for what's coming to the U.S. But anyway, leftification, it's completely overrun. I'm the only guy there like me. I'm a very nice, outgoing, social person, but I have nothing in common with anybody. It's completely overrun. So things are crazier and crazier coming out of my state legislature, but this is true of many state legislatures. I mean, bills that I wouldn't even thought would get introduced 5 years ago, not only are being introduced, they're being passed. And I have no words. It's terrible. I hope that's not a letdown and you expected like a lot of detail, but I do my job and come home and do podcasts, you know what I mean? Or write books. That's kind of how I deal with it.
Right. Yeah. Everybody's got to do whatever it is that they can do to push back and let them have it less quickly, slow it down if you can't stop it.
Yeah. I will add this though. Now that you say that, a conclusion that I was coming towards in the past and now has been cemented with me and it relates to law is that judges and lawyers and laws are incredibly ineffective to stopping a lot of this stuff. And that wasn't true in the past. I would say certainly 10 years ago, very, very much so 15 years ago, I would actually win court, right? The right thing, if there was a law that said, had a result I liked, basically, I don't know if that's the right thing, but from my perspective, it was, I don't know, a lot of times if I had the facts and the law on my side, I would get a pretty decent, fair decision most of the time. I mean, we're human beings, so you got to factor that in. I don't expect perfection. And now I don't even think about that anymore. I mean, it's just, there's no winning in court. There's no winning, in the legislature. There's no winning with public opinion. Again, I'm in one of the worst places, for liberalism in the entire country. So I don't want everyone out there to say, well, that's not my experience, here in Alabama. Well, you're probably right. It's not your experience there. But in some of these very leftist places, the law now, I mean, I follow it because if I don't, I get in trouble. If the left doesn't follow it, nothing bad happens to them. But I certainly don't have the reverence. I think that would be the word, the reverence for the law that I used to have. I was probably, spiritually immature in thinking that if you wrote a statute that said the right thing ought to happen, that people would do the right thing because it was in a statute, right? I'm past that now, very far past that.
Sure. And conservatives are really, really being targeted around the country. We've seen that with the president. And you're really seeing that in your neck of the woods, too. Can you talk to us a little bit about what's happened to Representative Matt Shea, who's been on the show a few times?
Yeah. Matt Shea is a solid human being, an awesome, good man. I've had private conversations with him where we've been very, very candid, and he's got the most pure, peaceful heart. He's a warrior at the same time. He was a captain in an infantry unit and is actually combat decorated. So, he's not afraid of the right, of force, but anyway, he's a good man. He is a Republican a member of the Washington State House of Representatives in the Spokane area, is a very conservative district. He's very effective at what he does because he's very persuasive and just is a good, he's a statesman as opposed to a politician. And by the way, I'm around politicians all the time. Really, really dislike them. All of you out there that dislike politicians, but you've never been around them, you're on the right track. Trust me, go with your instincts. The more you're around him, the less you like him. He's an exception to that. He has the House Democrats. So this isn't like any kind of fair, impartial, I don't know, decision-making body, much like Nancy Pelosi in the federal Congress. The Democrats did an investigation of Matt and concluded that he's a domestic terrorist. And now the House caucus in my state, Republican House caucus, has kicked Matt out, so he can't, you know, basically caucus with them. He's still a member of the legislature, but I'm sure they'll come up with a primary opponent for him. And they're persecuting him. He's a Christian and he's a patriot and he's paying the price. And by the way, he is gladly paying the price. I've had conversations with him and he's feeling the power of God all around him. He's at incredible peace. He understands persecution and he's honored to be persecuted. The persecution he's going through is not like it is in, say, Saudi Arabia, where you'd be beheaded or something like that. I don't want to exaggerate, and he's not exaggerating, but it is an example of what's coming. Social, political, economic persecution, all those things apply to him because, you know, he may not run. He's not going to resign his seat. He may not run for reelection. He, you know, came to that conclusion if he has earlier than all of this started. So it's not like he's running from this. But they're coming after guys like Matt Shea, and pretty soon it'll be lower level people, less prominent people. And I don't know, get ready for it. That's all I can say.
And I know we've been saying it for a while, but the future really is starting to look bleak here in America, Glenn. What are some of the things that we can do to take our preparedness efforts to the next level? How do we get to that prepping 2.0? You mentioned communications and night visions and things like that, but can you give us some things that maybe are a little bit more specific to what you think we're going to be looking at in 2020 going forward? We've certainly got some folks that are trying to take the Oval Office. Michael Bloomberg's one of them. That's a very, very staunch opponent of the Second Amendment. What are your thoughts? What can we do to get prepared for what you think's coming?
And I'll address the material preparations. You and I have talked about spiritual preparations, which are obviously the most important, but getting to the material stuff, everything I mentioned earlier, comms, water, all those sorts of things, night vision, there's that. But to add to that list, I came up with something and it just sort of hit me. I was doing my 2-hour radio show in Colorado on KHNC and it's online. And I came up with this when we were talking about Virginia, political preps, saying what? I mean, preps are practical and politics is this goofy, yucky stuff that I was just previously describing, how goofy and yucky it is. I mean, how can these two things fit together? It seems like an oxymoron. And what I meant by that was, in Virginia, for example, and this will be coming to your state, wherever you are, one way or another, when you've got a situation where you've got this, say, the larger state government, which is dominated by the cities and are passing terrible laws that are being imposed upon you, say, out in the rural areas or the suburban areas, have a political prep ready to go. And the scenario I gave was you're in Virginia, you're in southwestern Virginia, rural Virginia, and you hear that the state police have been ordered to come into your county and, let's say, arrest your board of supervisors because it's a sanctuary county, or maybe more specifically, arrest your sheriff who has said he will not enforce these laws. You need to have a plan in place, and let's try to keep things peaceful. That's the hope, obviously. Probably won't work, but, I mean, at least start with peaceful, right? And that would be candlelight vigil, praying. And this, the praying part hit me in church, and I had this crazy idea. It was in December of, I was thinking about singing Christmas carols, and I thought, well, and Virginia's unfolding at that time. Why not just go to the county courthouse and, not necessarily sing Christmas carols, but just be there and all of that. Maybe have some signs that are, and you've at least got the materials for them. You know, you go to the office supplies, you know, box store, and you get the big, I don't know, the big cardboard, white cardboard things, and you have some good pens or something. Things like, don't die to enforce this law. I mean, there's a little edge to them. It's not just, you know, kumbaya, but I mean, it's, and specifically I thought about going to outside the homes of, say, state police officers very peacefully with signs that say, don't die over this law. Your family needs you to come home tonight, that sort of thing. And then I thought, well, here's why this all matters. It's, there's a political side to this. And if the county officials that are being given a really difficult choice, if they know that the people in their county back them, they're more likely to do the right thing. Obviously have all the other preps in place too, because I don't expect this to be solved with candles and cardboard signs. If I did, you know, I wouldn't be spending the time and money I spend on my own preps that, let's just say, don't just involve candles and cardboard signs. So I think thinking about the political aspect, because it's a theater in this war. And just because we don't like politics and just because we're frustrated with it doesn't mean we should completely walk away from this battlefield. Now, we don't put our hope in politics. You mentioned that with you know, Donald Trump, and we just, a lot of conservatives and patriots and Christians thought, oh, we just elect this guy and all of our problems go away, and they don't. So at least have the political tool in the toolbox. I think, and this applies more to rural areas than others, but get to know your sheriff. Take him out to lunch, get to know him, let him know that, you know, there are good people out there that have his back, all that kind of stuff. So do that kind of stuff. Boy, financial, you've mentioned this before. That's key. I think having as little debt as possible is obviously good. I mean, in any setting, right? Gold and silver, absolutely critical. I foresee a time when the dollar won't be worth anything, and or people like you and me will have low social credit scores, Mark, and we will not be able to buy and sell things, you know, via the ATM networks and all that kind of stuff. Physical fitness is important. Shelby and I did a show about Prepper Fit, and much like the PAM radio stuff was targeted at the practical stuff you need to know to prepare and to make it through, you know, what's coming, but not all the other stuff you don't need. We talk about Prepper Fit. That actually comes from John Jeffers from his Contra Radio podcast and radio show, which is a good one. And it was being fit enough to do what you need to do. And that, you know, is getting out and being mobile. You don't have to be a star athlete, but you do have to be able to move around and not get winded, you know, walking up a flight of stairs. It's an often overlooked part of all this. A guy whose work I appreciate, Sam Culper at Forward Observer, he's a former intelligence guy, and he does prepper intel courses, like how to find out what's going on in your community and all that. He has a great line that really set this prepper fitness thing in set it up for me. And he said, if you really think a civil war is coming, are you going to stay on the couch eating potato chips? Because if you are on the couch eating potato chips, you don't really think a civil war is coming, because nobody gets ready for a civil war by, like, gluttony, right? And so I think that's a key thing. So those are some things: politics, physical fitness, two things that we all hate and sound yucky and nobody wants to do. I get it. That's fair. But those are some things. And community, community, community. I know I already mentioned that. Critical. It's going to depend on where you live. We, Shelby and I, live in a very rural place. Now we do. No longer in Olympia. This would not apply to my former residence. Great neighbors. Get to know them. When the little slip of paper goes in our mailbox and says, hey, we're going to get a load of gravel because we have, you know, dirt roads that aren't maintained by the county and they have potholes in the winter. Hey, who's in for throwing in $40 for that and grabbing a shovel and spending a couple hours? Somebody's going to bring a, you know, front end loader and we're going to fill in potholes. Do that, right? That's a good use of your time. That's a really good prep because your neighbors see that you're a team player, you're a good person, you get to know them, all that kind of stuff. And another thing to do would be on related to that, your mutual assistance group, whatever that looks like, goes by different names, your team, your crew, whatever it's called, your MAG, mutual assistance group. Spend a lot of time getting to know people and try to widen that circle as much as you possibly can with other good people. And they have to be good people first, and then skill sets come second, and stuff that they have comes third. Needs to be in that order, because if you link up with a bunch of, I don't know, bandits or thieves or something, you know, that's not going to work out for anybody. Take the time, and boy, does it take time to do that, but it's okay because it's kind of fun too. Shelby and I have barbecues and picnics all summer long at our place, and people that we've got our eye on that would be good mutual assistance group people, we just have over for a barbecue and hang out and eat food and, you know, just get to know people. It's kind of a pleasant thing. I mean, if you want to talk about a prep that doesn't involve having to be politically active or getting in physical shape, well, how about barbecuing, guys? I think you can pull that off and get to know people and vet them, because that loyalty and that, I don't know, that character that people have is going to count way, way more than having a $3,000 1911. So people, it's all about people.
Yeah, and I love the barbecue idea, because that's so much better than you know, giving them the secret handshake to go to the Order of the Secret Squirrel meeting.
Exactly. Yeah, I went to the drugstore and asked for a bunch of sodium pentothal, and they wouldn't give me any. So I guess I have to talk to people and get to know them, right? No shortcuts on that.
Yeah. Glenn, thanks so much for everything that you're doing to help wake folks up and get them prepared. Thanks for making time to be with us on the show today. Tell everybody where they can find Prepping 2.0. I think you've got a website, and I think you're on Facebook and some other ways folks can connect, and maybe some radio stations. There's people all around the country that maybe they can get it on the radio.
Yeah, you bet. The one-stop shop would be prepping2-0.com, prepping2-0.com. There will be links there. You can get on the Facebook page and Twitter and all of that. We try to be active on those pages just to get information out, and we have fun too. There have been, as you know, some absolutely hysterical memes that have been going around, and we love ourselves a good meme. There's the books, my books, 299days.com, 299days.com, Shelby's books, agreatstate.com. And that's the main way to get a hold of us and find out more. As far as radio stations go, we love being on even more radio stations than we are. Gets the word out. Folks can send me an email, and you can find this on the website, but the email is easy to remember, glenntate123@gmail.com. Give us the calls, letters of a local radio station near you that you want us to be on, and we can contact them and get the show on. We're on a couple stations in Oregon. We're on in Salt Lake City. We're on in KHNC, which is fantastic conservative Christian radio station in northeastern Colorado, but covers down to Denver and all the way up to Wyoming. And all the shows on KHNC that I do, my weekly show, which is on Tuesdays, they're all archived, and you can get the links there and listen to those. So that's a good thing. You know, terrestrial radio is not dead. And I think for our message and our audience, people that, like people listening now, people that want to know about these things, I think there's less censorship on an FCC-controlled terrestrial radio station like KHNC, where there is no censorship, than there is, you know, on Facebook. So I love it. The government-controlled radio stations are some of the most free media we have to get the message out. So there you go. So yeah, that's the rundown on all the shows. And I love being on your show. It's great every couple years to check in, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been too long. We'll make sure it doesn't go that long again. And I think you've really hit on something there with Facebook. I think the government's less of what we have to worry about than some of these big corporations, the Amazons and Facebooks and Google and YouTube. They're getting very dictatorial with the way they decide who can and can't participate on their platforms. After the big bait and hook of putting it out there as being something that's open platform for everybody, and it's for everybody that agrees with them.
Exactly.
Glenn, so good talking to you. Happy New Year, and we'll talk to you soon.
Great, thank you. Happy New Year to you.